Hey everybody, welcome to the Prep Life Podcast. This is your founder and CEO of Glam Girl Bikini, Amy Enger, and today I'm joined by my fabulous co-host, Lee Marie Hostetter. Hey Lee.
Hi, everyone.
Hey, all right, we are back and we are doing part two of our Q&A. Thank you to our lovely listeners that have sent us your DMs and your questions from Lee Marie posted an IG question box. So last week, if you missed it, we did a Q&A on first probably like five questions that we got. We have several more, and some of these are really in-depth questions where they're more than one part, which we love these. So bring them on. We could talk for hours about the prep life and all of these different issues. So and we just always like to just, share our experience. Like I've been around a long time, so I've made a lot of mistakes, and I don't want other people to make those same mistakes. So if I can ever like shed some light on like something that I've tried like 10 years ago, and since then like new research came out and I realized like that's a there's a more superior method to doing it a different way, which I think as a coach you have to constantly be evolving within the industry because bodybuilding is such a nuanced sport that it's changing so much. And, it always depends because every competitor is a different and unique individual. But there's certain things that like maybe trendy, and then we find out like new evidence, whether it be from just like, more experience in the industry, more repetition with like different athletes and things like that, or there's new research coming out, and there's scientific backing of things. So I think anything in science is always evolving, and it's important to keep an open mind, especially when you are a coach and always keeping someone's health in mind. And so I think that with saying that, it kind of segues into this first question, which before we hopped online, I was kind of sharing with Lee that, back in the day, like way back in the day when competitors were like getting bloat and discomfort, this is before we even knew like what SIBO was, what a breath test was, what a GI map test was. These things weren't around. And so, they Everly Well came out with this food sensitivity test, which is a blood serum test that kind of tests for your sensitivities. I mean, to me, like, I would never recommend that anymore. I don't think they're very valid. I think that if somebody has like truly an allergy to something, they should go to an allergist and get tested for it. So if you truly have a food allergy, that's what you need to do. And then on the bloating and the like just GI like problems, whether it's diarrhea, constipation, like heavy bloating in your stomach, those kind of things, what I've learned over time and working through hormone logics and sitting in on several different client GI map readings. That one, so the FDA has approved it, and I don't want to pronounce, I didn't even list out all the different bacteria and parasites and things that it tests for very accurately approved by the FDA, because they were, bacteria strands are like these weird names. But anyways, it's 97% accurate. And it's been approved by the FDA. So to me, that I know is great. But also, like, I know for me, I got a GI map and I found out I had H. pylori, which that's easily treated. But it's also like if you eat fermented foods, it exacerbates it. You're feeding the H. pylori. So, you have to go through this whole protocol and different things. And, like if you have certain bacteria, like a SIBO breath test will let you know if you have small intestinal bacteria overgrowth. A GI map will tell you if you have like candida or a parasite, all these things that before we really didn't have that kind of technology. And it's so convenient. You can, I mean, it's kind of gross because you have to collect your own stool sample. But literally, the UPS or the FedEx, like you literally get the sample, you call a number, and they take it off your porch like within an hour. And then you get this whole reading, and I mean, it has to be read by a doctor, and then the health liaison goes over it. But it's really insightful, and I've been on a lot of calls with clients and the health liaison from HormoneLogix, Joanna. She's been on our podcast before, and she just, I mean, I learned something every single time, and every single person has like a different map and different issues. And you know, there's things that like it's good for me to be on the call because then I can learn like, okay, this person needs to avoid these certain foods. Like for example, I couldn't have like mustard because it had vinegar in it, you know? So just like little things like that where it's just helpful to have something that's kind of been tested. So to answer that long-winded question, I do not believe in food sensitivity tests. I did at one time think that that was like our only hope when we were just kind of like throwing our hands up because we just didn't know what was going on with this individual and they were clearly having discomfort with their digestion. But now I'm just glad that there's different routes that you can go that will kind of like solve the problem a little bit better.
So when it has to do with gut bacteria, like with your thing where you couldn't have fermented foods, is that something that you can work with your gut to kind of fix your or even out or bring up certain gut bacteria so that you can have those foods again? Or is that just something that your body naturally it doesn't tolerate?
No, I had to kill the H. pylori because I
Oh
had that
my God.
bacteria that was
You can have
causing
that
that.
there now.
I do not have H. pylori. Yeah, I do not
Sorry,
have it.
that's
I treat it, but like the GI map showed that I had it so I could treat it. So I had to take like things to like kill that particular
Gotcha.
one. And then like if you have a parasite, there's like certain
Right.
treatments that you take. But the doctor reads it and then they give you a protocol. And usually, at least from my experience, like from the ones that I've seen, like everybody's protocol is different because
Okay.
they all have different things that are going on. Some people don't have anything wrong. But like for me, I had to first bring down inflammation. So actually, GI Advantage is actually the same ingredients as the powder that was, it was called GI Revive, but the GI Revive was like triple the cost. So I just took GI Advantage to bring down inflammation. And then I took the whatever supplement protocol it was to kill the bacteria. And then you repopulate with like a really good, like I had to refrigerate my probiotic. Yeah. So it's basically like bring down inflammation, kill or starve, like whatever the bacteria is, and then repopulate with healthy. So, I mean, that's just my personal experience. Everybody else's protocols are different. So I can only speak for myself, but yeah.
So you can have mustard now?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I
That
don't really enjoy it. So it wasn't like a huge love loss. But I was having apple cider vinegar like all the time. Yeah, and that's no bueno for the H. pylori. So,
Okay.
okay.
So, next question. How do I help my mental health when it comes to social media?
Yeah. What are your thoughts on that one?
Okay. So, I have a little protocol when it comes to who I follow on social media, and I think a good thing to have is just a couple of things that you consistently come back to and do like a like clean a house, like how you clean your kitchen or how you clean your bathroom. You may not need to do it every single day, but maybe, you know, every couple of weeks, just kind of go through who am I following? How do I feel when I go on social media? How do I feel when I get off social media? And I think a huge thing is how much time do I spend? So I try to have the majority of my time on social media be contributing. So making content, putting out content, responding to people's DMs to me, and have a lower percentage of me consuming. So I try to contribute and make content more than I consume. And then I use it for about three different things. I use it for connecting with friends. So if I have, you know, a friend on social media, I use it to stay connected with their life. Or entertainment. So if something just makes me laugh and I just need, you know, a good just zone out laugh kind of thing,
Yeah.
or for education. And that is the majority of mine, I would say, is mostly educating myself on like staying up with the pros of bodybuilding or coaches or, scientists, doctors, people that research mostly for me is health and nutrition, since that's what I do as a coach, but then also as a competitor. But even in those, mostly the competitors that I follow, I do watch if I feel like I'm comparing myself a little too much or feeling a little bit bad about myself. Usually, if it's competitors, I don't, because so much of it is based on their prep and, working out and, hard things like that. And if I'm seeing them and trying to compare, I know enough about myself to be like, I'm not in prep right now. I'm in the improvement season. Being shredded is not my goal. And so I can appreciate your prep while knowing that I'm in a different season kind of thing. But if you're not able to do that, it might be a good idea to, take a look at which competitors you're following and what content they're putting out. Maybe it's not healthy for you to watch someone that just puts out a lot of bikini model pictures because they work for a company and they're putting out sponsored content. That's great. But maybe it's not helping you right now if you're in your improvement season. Maybe you should follow somebody that is posting a lot of gym motivation or tips or their prep meals or things like that. So kind of just watching how you feel when you're looking at the people that you follow, and then have some guidelines on why you're following certain people. So for me, it's connecting with friends and family, education, and then just a few just funny, fitness memes or gym humor kind of stuff. But yeah.
Love it. No, that's great. I love that whole idea of spring cleaning. That's so good. And I did not know about this feature, and this just kind of dates me that I'm 44, but I didn't know that you could mute people until a little bit ago. And I started doing that just because, just like right now, it's not serving my mentality. And like, to be watching what certain people are doing. And so for me, that has been really healthy. And I think that and it was actually my therapist that had recommended that I start muting people that, they are not serving me. So when I think about like social media content, I also think about like podcasts, YouTube channels, and also obviously Instagram and Facebook are all contributors. So like for me, Facebook is about family. That pr account's private. It's not public. That's about like my kids and like connecting with all of my relatives that don't live where I live. And then Instagram is my public, and it's more just about, like you said, education, like connecting with my competitor friends, learning about the sport and the industry, staying on top of like, it's kind of like my news, really. Instagram is. And so same with like YouTube, especially, and podcasts, like those, I really am careful about what I'm feeding myself. I try to evaluate every once in a while, like, try to reflect, like, is this podcast really adding value to my life? And if it's not, then I'm probably gonna unfollow it or, just not download the episodes because I'm like you where I kind of assess like, okay, after I watched that video on YouTube or like after I listened to that podcast, like how did that make me feel? And again, if it's not making me better, like challenging me mentally, I'm not learning something, it's not making me happy or laugh, like it's not worth my time 100%.
Totally. I love that. Okay.
Okay, so we've got some doozies here when it comes to like, okay, so this was a really good one. When I say doozy, I just mean like it's multifaceted. But I believe my client Kim gave us this one. The top tips, what are your top tips to lose body fat without losing muscle? So I bolted a couple of things that I thought on this just because before like we kind of like shared both of our questions together. Do you want me to go over my bullets and then do you want to add anything that you felt like was, because I'm sure I'm missing something because I know there's lots of different ways that you can do this, but I think number one is giving yourself a good timeline. So giving yourself enough time to cut and also like giving yourself enough time to build. I just feel like making sure you are reverse engineering your goal. keeping protein at optimal levels at all seasons, enough to build and support muscle growth. About a gram per pound is about good. Avoiding long bouts of cardio. The cardio is going to be, you know, deteriorating your muscles, especially steady state. It's going to be just catabolizing. You're going to be in a catabolic state, not an anabolic state, which is breaking down the muscle for energy, because that's a very readily available energy source. So, you know, keeping like cardio low, especially in improvement season. And then when you are cutting, you know, if you give yourself enough time, you're not going to have to do a bunch of cardio. Mm-hmm. And then just staying within reason or striking distance, like in an improvement season and off season. We'll get into that because we have a question from another competitor or another person that, about that. And then, I think just making sure that you're not taking any sort of extreme measures, which again is just giving your body time. So I guess it kind of comes back to that time and planning, because if you have to do extreme measures, you're going to lose a lot of, muscle in the process of trying to cut.
Mm-hmm. So. I think just a couple of things. If you like, those are all the basics. I think those are great as elite mm-hmm. competitors, bodybuilders. Yeah. I would say take creatine. That's a very well-researched supplement for building muscle and for muscle recovery and hydrating your muscles. So take creatine, super easy. It's not expensive. I think everybody should be taking it. And then, lift heavy in the gym, the same amount like of intensity yeah. in the gym and heavy weights that you lifted, whatever's heavy for you, those last two reps should be close to failure of your sets. Whatever you were doing to build that muscle, try and continue that intensity as you're cutting. And if you're cutting slow enough and giving yourself enough time, you should have that energy to spend in the gym. So make sure you have that energy, make sure your workouts are fueled and you have enough energy in the gym to keep lifting heavy and preserving that muscle mass.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, we could go into a million things like getting proper sleep yeah. and all of these different things. But, you know, I think when it comes to just losing body fat, like if you're in a dieting phase, like really just giving yourself a reasonable timeline that you don't have to do anything drastic. I always think about that study that was done with like the three bodybuilders, and they were the three natural bodybuilders. Did you ever hear about that one where the one guy, they kind of like all cut in different phases, and the one guy that gave himself like a ton of time, he hardly lost any muscle at all. And he got down to like contest lean. And then another guy had, I think Pete Fitchens was one of the guys that he did it as one of his grad things. But like one of the guys did it like super fast. And yes, he got down to like his stage weight, but he lost like massive amounts of muscle because he did, I forget what it was. I'm going to totally misquote this, but I just remember it was like a way shorter prep. And like the difference between that, I think it was the Chris Foss study. Have you heard of that?
Mm-hmm. No, but I'm gonna.
Yeah, you'll have to listen. Yeah, you'll have to look into it. I think it was like Pete Fitchens and Chris Foss. But yeah. Anyways, so okay, let's go into the next question. So, this person on our Instagram asked, if I'm starting competition prep at age 40, what are the benefits, and then what are the challenges? Mm-hmm. And so, since I'm over 40, do you want me to take this?
Go for it.
Okay. So I, like from a mom standpoint, and I don't know if this person has kids, they could not. But for me, like my kids are older, they're more independent. Like when I first started competing, you know, they were 1 and 2. So that was like different challenges. Like now they drive themselves, like they don't, like I have free time. It's not like I'm like having to put them in daycare and things like that. Like I did when I was, you know, 31. And then I think you're more well-established in your career when you're a master's competitor in general, like you're more established in your finances. This is an expensive sport. So I think you have like more flexibility when it comes to that. And then I feel like it, like later in life, there aren't many opportunities to have like competitive outlets if you're a competitive person and an athletic person. And it's just a really healthy like hobby and a way to challenge yourself. Challenges would be perimenopause is creeping around the corner most likely. where you're going to have changes in your hormones, changes to your metabolism because of those changes in hormones, changes to your skin. So your skin gets a lot more thin as estrogen changes, because estrogen makes your skin very vibrant. And so you'll notice like masters competitors have very thin skin, and it's more wrinkly and things like that. So there's other issues like with stretch mark and just like those types of things. If you don't have, if you're just starting lifting at age 40, you're going to be a little bit behind the game, because a lot of your muscle development, if you lift when you're younger, they say by like the age 30, and maybe I'm misquoting this as well, but it's like around the age 30, like you're basically just trying to hang on to what you have. And so, you know, building up into like your, from your 20s and all that, like you're building a foundation. And so you're building those satellite cells. And it's just, once you get older, you know, if you had a previous lifting experience, then you're going to have really good, dense muscle maturity. And it's going to look a lot more dense than those open class, like younger competitors. What are your thoughts on that kind of stuff?
I mean, I totally agree with all of that. I think there are definitely ways that might be more difficult, but on the other hand, the masters competitors that you're seeing nowadays look so good. Like I can't compete with them. Like they look so good. And
well, like, you are a masters competitor.
I know. Yeah. I am now.
you gotta
stand next to them and I'm like, whoa, okay. But also I think the thing with like menopause and stuff, I hear a lot of like perimenopause, menopause, and it's seen as like a roadblock. But for me, it's like, why not try and do something like bodybuilding and competing? Because what else are you going to do? I mean, you want to be fit. Why not go to be like the fittest, best shape of your life? Yes, it might take you a little bit longer, but why not do something where you are monitoring your hormones? You are watching and making sure you're eating the best and getting the best nutrition, the best supplements while you go through that, so that it's not as bad and you don't put on a bunch of weight and, you know, you're monitoring it. It might be a little bit more difficult, but you're going to be able to get like a fantastic body in your 40s, 50s, 60s. I mean, some of these competitors, they look absolutely fantastic. It's like goals for me.
Yeah. I love you're always the glass half full girl. I mean, you're like everyone's hype woman.
I love it. We've met some like crazy. I mean, didn't we meet? I mean, I know we've met competitors in their 50s, but I want to say 60.
No, I met a 70-year-old at the Arnold Fashion Show. She looked fabulous. Yeah. I have a client that's competing for the very first time. Today is her birthday. She just turned 61.
Come on.
She looks incredible. Oh, and this will be her first bikini competition in April. And yes. I mean, it's just, age is just a number, you know? Mm-hmm. Why not start living your best life right now? Like literally.
Yep. Why not? Why not get to be in the best shape of your life?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So we've got like, we still have a lot more questions. We've got like, a lot of these questions are about like maintenance, bulking, cutting, body fat comp, like when to track it, normal amount of weight gain during improvement season. So I don't know if we want to do just like a special episode kind of centered around, like tracking muscle and fat and when to like start things like with, like if you should bulk and maintenance and all that in another episode, possibly.
I love that. I would love to dive. So here's a little teaser, guys. Yeah. I would love to dive into improvement season because, I mean, you're in prep right now. This girl's deep in improvement season. And like the whole mental aspect of it and all these things are really great. I think we should definitely.
Yeah, I think you could contribute well to that. So ask us questions. I kind of want to get back to you. Just like in the beginning of the episode, kind of giving little life updates. If you guys could care less what we're doing, I'm totally fine with that too. So let us know if you want to hear about like what's going on. I mean, I try to kind of update on my stories, like where I'm at. And so do you. You do.
Oh,
really
if you follow me on Instagram,
you're like, You're really good about stories. It's very entertaining. So if they want to follow you, what's your Instagram handle?
At Lee Marie 183.
Yeah. And I'm Amy Anger, just my full name, AmyEhInger. And you can also follow us on Instagram at Prep Life Podcast or at Glam Girl Bikini. Please feel free to DM us with questions. And if you are interested in your unicorn prep and you would like prep coaching from either one of us, you can go to glamgirlbikini.com and hit the get started button. So thank you so much for listening, guys.
Bye.